information where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.
Millennium Blues, Theories and Activism, taken from the At Last is the Year 2000 issue, which came out in the autumn of 1999. Big Money, Big Chaos. By the time you hear this, the world may have collapsed because the millennium bug may have struck. However, we won't make too many predictions because, as Oscar Wilde famously said, those who are too up to date are out of date very quickly. If the bug happens in a big way, we'll know sure enough, and if not, it's a marketing flop. If there is a conspiracy behind the bug, maybe it is to instill fear as social control, solved by the overblown Millennium Jamboree and techno triumph that they fixed it. The main problem could be embedded chips, unless these are bypassed, while the third world has bought lots of old computers which won't be debugged. Another swipe at their trade? Old bombs were dropped on Kosovo so they wouldn't go wrong at the turn of 2000. The bug could be a smokescreen for more deliberate manipulation and ritual, weeding out anarchist types who might head for the hills, and making them easy targets. At least the world didn't end on July the 4th, 1999, as many claimed Nostradamus had predicted. No use getting sore over that. However, it's a good time to look at all the hype surrounding the concept of the millennium, and the threat of the bug as a social phenomenon, because the memory will linger far longer than the events. Can we write a millennium-proof article that will still be valid in 2000 and beyond? Maybe, maybe not. But here's a rundown on some of the news, which you may hear more of in the future. Flash cash. There are hundreds of prestige arts projects planned nationwide to plug the millennium, the official year of the artists, which is why most artists haven't heard of it. These are funded by government sources and the lottery. If there is a big bug effect, how will these look? Maybe a bizarre fiddling as Rome burns phenomenon which will prove unpopular in the backlash, or some kind of light relief, bringing inspiration in difficult times. The truth may be reflected in the degree of sincerity within each project, assuming computer hitches don't wreck the projects themselves. Rome the Dome. We'll also learn the contents of the infamous dome, the dreadful overblown millennium extravaganza. It seems to be a feast of technocratic trivia and corporate crud, ignoring the past tourists visit Britain to see. But the global rule agenda is centred on London as a world's primary financial centre, and the dome has to reflect this fact. The London Eye seems more promising, a giant Ferris wheel on the south bank of the Thames. I went past in late September, just after a failed attempt by contractors to lift the wheel into place. It resembles a space station from the film 2001, A Space Odyssey, though is a little more down to earth. Once raised in October, it became a nifty site for demonstration when protesters against dams in India and Spain gained an unofficial preview of its heights. As always, security will be reviewed. The London Eye sees all. London Breeze. London has been called the new Troy. Not only the centre of the New World Order, NWO, financial and political power, controlling the US by grooming new presidents at Oxford, for example, but literally owning the states. Cryptocracy also denotes rule by unknown forces. The financial district is full of symbols relating to the Freemasons and other occult groups. But why would they give away the game by planting such clues? The answer lies in the very public relations advertising culture which swamps the city. Take an analogy with car advertising. We always see a single car on a gleaming road, yet we know traffic is congested. The advertisers lie. We know they lie, but everyone accepts it, except a few greenies, who are either sidelined by the media or cannot buy the same airtime. When you have ownership, you have arrogance, and you can boast about your power if you are of a low enough personality trait. This is what the NWO or Brotherhood do. They say, look at us, aren't we clever? With every logo or share a similar trait to the computer hacker or graffiti artist, leaving their own signature or trademark as a way to goad their opponents. The Millennium Dome is the peak expression of this flashy symbolic culture, and it will be interesting to see whether it contains encoded NWO symbols. If you visit the place, look out for lizards and snakes, black and white squares, or two squares on top of each other, Freemasonic symbols meaning we control everything, a pyramid with or without an eye, NWO, 666 in any numerical or geometric form, fire in the form of beacons, the NWO symbol for assassination, as in the memorials to Kennedy and Diana, pentagrams, which are five-sided stars, T-squares, the Maltese cross, and the number 33, Masons again, or a black sun, Satanism, and there's one in the City of London. Make a great game of I Spy. The area could be microwaved in order to produce a receptive, non-critical state in the visitor, so be aware of this if visiting. There will also be a vast amount of security and surveillance. One shocking allegation made against the New World Order is the concept of ritual child sacrifice. At its upper satanic levels, the NWO allegedly carry out ritual child abuse and murder, including burning to death, the latter at a place called Bohemia Grove in the USA. The purpose of the dome may be to channel malignant energy through the world's network of energy lines, since it is positioned by the prime meridian of Greenwich and overlooked by the pyramid-topped Canary Wharf. The best way to do this would be through human sacrifice, so spinning a wild theory here, imagine if the dome was blown up as if by terrorists and those inside burnt to death as a kind of mass ritual. The resultant outrage and shock would allow the instigation of more security, surveillance, etc. on the population as a form of solution we would have been conditioned to welcome. The dome is being built at a place called Phoenix Wharf. The phoenix was the ancient symbolic bird which rose from the ashes. Could this be an arrogant clue? Let's hope this is just a crazy idea, but watch the media for any fires at the dome or terrorist alerts and keep an open mind. They may suggest a forward plan, even if the worst case scenario doesn't occur. April 19th is apparently a special day for fire rituals, Waco being an example. While not a ritual as such, the Wall of Fire firework display, planned to run down the Thames at the turn of the big 2000, is suggestive of an apocalyptic vision. The glittering prizes. There are also ambitious plans for the South Coast, where the Greenwich Meridian meets Peacehaven in East Sussex, not far from Brighton. There is a plan to beam a giant laser from there to the dome, and surveyors began to plan relay towers in the spring of 1999. Two plans faltered, however, one to beam a laser across the English Channel, and one to use a computer-controlled laser to etch out the Long Man of Wilmington chalk figure, then animate it to dance outside its current position. The first was dropped so the dome could be publicised rather than France, while the second, though supported by English heritage as not harmful to the site, these are coloured, not death ray lasers, was turned down by the Millennium Commission in abusive terms, to quote the applicant we spoke to on the phone. It's probably all money better spent elsewhere in any case. Look at the tragic rail crash at Ladbroke Grove, London on October 5th, 1999. We get the usual waffle about interminable public inquiries, yet the cost of installing automatic train protection nationwide and saving hundreds of lives would be £700 million, less than the cost of the Millennium Dome. Eco, 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 eco. The environment should be a big topic in the new century, with the pros and cons of a technological, growth-led society ranged against the need to protect the planet. But the situation is by no means a clear-cut one. Many prestige eco-centre, eco-village-style developments have been instigated by the Millennium Commission, yet few could have been finished by 2000 or have proved less attractive than planned. A new green Sainsbury's superstore was imposed next to the Greenwich Eco-Village, according to Jenny Bates of Greenwich and Lewisham Friends of the Earth. The wonderful solar panels on the roof do nothing but generate power to light the store at night. Even Richard Rogers' dome architect has called the store a mistake. The eco idea is imposed by those who have no idea or experience of grassroots campaigning, Exactly the same patronising manipulative technique was displayed through the Agenda 21 eco-participation scam. The whole planet should be an eco-centre, not just little tourist attractions. Though these are not wrong in themselves, if designed with sincerity. Planet Pledge. The organisation Going for Green says,
Planet Pledge 2000 is your chance to make a Millennium New Year's resolution for our future environment. If the next generation is to enjoy the planet's resources as we have, we must make changes to our lifestyles to help look after the planet. By making our own small lifestyle changes, we can make a big difference together.
The limit for the pledge was 30 words to be displayed in the new Earth Centre in Doncaster on a huge display unit called Pathway to the 21st Century. The flyer added,
Your information will be entered onto the Planet Pledge database. It may be passed to our partners who can help you fulfill your pledge. The information,
do they mean us,
will not be passed to or used by any other third party.
The information sent in the following pledge, which we hope will raise a few eyebrows. Lifting the lid on the forces moving us towards a globally degraded society, helping create a positive, non-manipulative world. Centre of Attraction. However, visitor numbers at the Earth Centre are way below expectation. Is it a theme park, educational, functional, or what? The malaise was summed up by a worker quoted in the Daily Mail, bemoaning the empty car parks. He was worried about visitor numbers, but big car parks for an eco-centre? Hardly a holistic approach. I suggest the subconscious mind of the public senses a lack of sincerity, so they stay away, just as with a bad film. Yet it all goes way, way beyond this. While I've believed in the New World Order conspiracy to centralise world power since the mid-1990s, our first three issues of The Information took a deliberately balanced view of the pros and cons, but things are becoming more urgent and scepticism is a luxury we can ill afford. Say it loud and say it proud, we are conspiracy theorists or activists. The Information looks at the twilight zone where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology. We recognise an overlap between the conspiracy angle and ecology angle. However, while we might call ourselves conspiracy theorists, have you ever heard of an ecology theorist? There are plenty, I'm sure, but the ones that hit the headlines are the eco-activists, while conspiracy theorists are shunted into fringe slots and media. So should we become conspiracy activists? It has a nice ring about it, but what would the actions involve? Jumping on the LEM lander at the Science Museum and shouting, Hey, they faked the moon landings! Or giving out leaflets outside the next Bilderberg meeting, or even blocking the entrance. Would such actions gain more respect, or total ridicule? Or both? It's important to realise that any revolutionary action is always based on a large amount of theory. Of course, it's easy to fall into the trap of endless pontification. Come the revolution, brothers, as in the sitcom Citizen Smith, anticipating an event which forever moves into the distance, never to occur. Yet the need for communication, knowledge, the information, is clear. And what consists of an action? Our rather stodgy old dictionary says, doing, working, exertion of energy, and men of action, as opposed to men of studious or sedentary pursuits. Presumably, dictionary compilers aren't men of action. The June the 18th protests in the City of London expressed the anger felt towards the city's vast institutions, even if the protest itself may have induced mixed feelings over the degree of violence or damage involved. Perhaps J18 was the nearest to a conspiracy action or riot so far, but few there would have been aware of the pyramid of power which makes up the New World Order. The mainstream ecology social justice movement recognises globalisation through politics and corporations, but cannot or will not make the next jump to putting the thread through the beads and seeing the whole structure. We may debate the exact nature of that structure, a a necklace is flexible to continue the analogy, but we accept there is a structure. Conspiracy theory is theoretical brainstorming, a technique which creates both nonsense and wisdom, which we have to judge for ourselves. Of course, many eco-social campaigns must specialise to achieve results, whether it's anti-roads, anti-poverty, saving wildlife or whatever. But by failing to see their place in society at large, which means, in our view, a conspiracy or series of overlapping conspiracies, the groups wear the equivalent of mental blinkers, unable to see anything but a narrow, though deceptively vivid view. Conspiracy theory provides peripheral vision, a great thing to have in action. Casino politics. BBC Two ran an excellent four-part series called The Mayfair Set, which ended on Sunday, August the 8th. Much of the story concerned the late Sir James Goldsmith, who broke up corporations for his own financial gain in the 1970s, but retreated to Mexico when global forces prevailed. His home there resembled the base of a James Bond villain, with a huge domed complex guarded by ex-SAS soldiers. While working from a very different perspective than the J-18 rebels, Goldsmith aimed to halt corporate globalization by attacking the EEC. His referendum party failed to make great inroads at the 1997 general election, though it did split the Tory vote. Personally, I had sympathy with his basic aim, but when I attended a local referendum party meeting on the eve of the election, I was startled by the xenophobic elements in the audience and voted otherwise. Even so, New Labour quickly granted the Bank of England independence, and Goldsmith was dead before the year was out. Another of the Mayfair set, a group of 60s gamblers, Tiny Rowland, had long animosity with Mohammed Al-Fayed over the ownership of Harrods. But Al-Fayed's outing of sleazy politicians cured this. By a strange chance, as with the curse of the Kennedys, Rowland died not long after Goldsmith, while Al-Fayed's own son died along with Princess Diana in 1997. As the millennium comes, we are around halfway towards the next general election. Will other individualistic challenges rise to attack the current agenda? And will they have agendas of their own? Gold top. Researcher Wayne John Sturgeon says, part of the millennium celebrations involves a gold cap placed upon the Great Pyramid of Cheops in Egypt. Is this a sign to international Freemasonry and the global elite that the foundation stones of their new order of the ages have been laid and a one world government and religion are already upon us? If so, then it is time to wake up and see who's who. For the stone the builders rejected has become the chief stone. Psalm 118.22. The ceremony takes place under the name of the World Millennium Charity Ball, the climax of a five-day event. It has been planned for 20 years by the Millennium Society, a brotherhood front, and will be the highest of high life for the highest. The gold cap ceremony will be preceded by a 12-hour concert by the Great Pyramid itself, and, so the grisly theory goes, runs alongside secret blood sacrifices within. Time of your life. A report in the London Evening Standard of September 23rd says, America just can't wait for midnight, with the East Coast celebrating the millennium at 7 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, GMT, instead of Eastern Standard Time, 5 hours later. The reason? It will be midnight in England. The same edition says BBC TV will be running the millennium coverage for the entire world, taking in an amazing 36 time zones. Is there a need to synchronise millennium ceremonies for the maximum esoteric effect? Perhaps the bug anxiety masks these motives deliberately. Antichrist. Will a brotherhood antichrist be heralded by all this? Many theories discuss the coming of a great charismatic leader in the 21st century who will seem to be our salvation, but is the very opposite. Films like The Omen show him as a satanic incarnation, but when we take a conspiracy view of biblical prophecy, it seems likely the New World Order and co. would set him up using their vast control of politics and the media. Much of the agenda involves merging world religions into a single homogenised lump. This might seem great for peace, particularly in places like Northern Ireland, but I suggest the peace will be a false one. Also, given the long-running nature of NWO plans, these religious conflicts have been stoked up or provoked over the years with this very solution in mind. The pyramid ceremony could be the Antichrist's baptism or coronation. Perhaps the Antichrist has a Pharaoh's bloodline, or the Brotherhood wish this to seem the case. Fancy a trip to the pyramid ceremony to find out? Tickets, outside only, are $3,000 each. Want to know more? Try www.millenniumsociety.org.
The information where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.